you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Reading from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 through 18. Do your best to come to me quickly, for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, because he is helpful to me in my ministry. I sent Tychicus to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas and my scrolls, especially the parchments. Alexander the metalworker did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him for what he has done. You too should be on your guard against him, because he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. And that was 2 Timothy 4, 9-18.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, February 23rd, 2024. And the same great group is with us again, packing up the studio. Appreciate the friends that are part of today's discussion, facilitated by Pastor Jason Schiffel. Last week we covered a faith-filled life, and we talked about sound doctrine and absolutes and how to stay on the straight and narrow following Jesus, having him involved in all of our days. Today, Jason, with this section of Scripture out of 2 Timothy chapter 4, I don't know what the topic's going to be. I'm looking at different things. How would you summarize what we're going to discuss today?
Well, last week we talked about what it means to live a faith-filled life, a life that is filled with faith, a faithful life. This week we're going to talk about a real life. Because it's really easy to take them and have faith-filled life and real life be two different things. And Paul here is going to show us that a faith-filled life and a real life are exactly the same thing. In fact, I think it's interesting that it happens all in the same chapter here in 2 Timothy, that Paul starts out and he writes to Timothy and he says, I charge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. It gives us this high view of Jesus and who Jesus is and his calling in Jesus, which is for all of us. And then he says, and there's going to come a time where there's going to have people are going to have itching ears. They're going to want to hear what they want to hear, and they're not going to want to hear you. And it's going to make life difficult and tough and hard. And then he says, listen, don't turn away from the truth like they do. Don't even wander from it like they're going to. He says, as for you, always be sober-minded, enduring suffering, doing the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. And listen, by the time Paul gets done with this letter, with this first part that we read last week, verses 1 through 8 of 2 Timothy 4, we could think Paul's a superhero. We could think that bullets bounce off the chest of Paul. We could think that Paul's inflappable. And then we get to the second half of this chapter. And Paul says, let me tell you what it's really like, too. He says, all of these things that I've told you in the first 8 verses are true. But then he says, let me also tell you how I'm feeling. First thing he says in verse 9 is, do your best to come to me soon. Listen, if you don't hear this like a cry, you're not listening. This is Paul, a fatherly figure, writing to a son, and he's saying, please come see me. Please come see me. He's really saying, this is hard. This thing I'm going through, this being in prison, being alone, I'm resting on Jesus, I'm reading the scriptures, I'm meditating upon his goodness, but that doesn't diminish the fact that this is hard. See, you can do all the things that you know to do, and life is still hard. Life is still hard. And just because it's hard doesn't mean that Jesus isn't any more present with you than he was when it was good. He is. That's what Paul's going to tell Timothy here later on. He's going to say, but the Lord stood by me. But he said, listen, it doesn't stop the fact that it's hard. He says, please come to me soon. I need you to come spend some time with me. Has anybody ever felt like that? Mm-hmm. Is anybody maybe willing to share a little bit?
Well, 30-year-old men and 23-year-old men don't often like to spend a lot of time with their mom, right? But the last 2 months in particular, with everything that's been going on in my life, I appreciate it so much when they take time to come and visit me and acknowledge me. And, you know, I feel like I do beg. But once we do it, there's just so many great things that come from that time. And It's such precious, valuable time in our lives that you do want to ask for that as much as you can, respectfully and, you know, respecting boundaries and all that fun stuff. But it is more precious than ever. And it does so much for our soul and for our insides, and the conversations are so good and the energy is so good that you want that over and over and over again, and you feel God in those moments as well.
And Paul even comes behind this ask in verse 9, this do your best to come to me. He's really saying, do everything you can to come see me. Do everything you can. And then he says in verse 10, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Built into that sentence is this guy Demas, who Paul probably really liked. Paul thought he was a great partner in the gospel. Paul trusted him. And Demas, he found out, loved this world more than the next. Mm. Loved himself more than Paul. Loved following his own way more than following Jesus.
And it's as if Paul's saying, I've been abandoned.
And I've been wounded by a friend.
Someone that you looked up to, admired, trusted. It's like your superhero is now no longer a superhero and can do nothing for you.
Has anybody ever been wounded by a friend?
Oh, yeah.
And all God's people said?
Amen.
Yeah. And listen, nothing hurts like that. Nothing hurts like this person that you thought was going to be there for you, that was going to walk alongside you, that you thought you could trust and entrust your life to, and all of a sudden, they just seem to take a turn. And it doesn't make any sense. I went through that a few years ago with somebody, and it still hurts to this day. It's still a wound. In fact, we had a prayer meeting not too long ago where we had these buttons, and you were supposed to take a button, and you were supposed to, like, forgive somebody who you're having trouble forgiving and put the button back when you forgave them. And I still have the button in my pocket because I'm not sure how to do that. And Jesus is working on that with me. But those hurts, this hurt that Paul is experiencing is deep.
You know, I'm so glad you're bringing this up because I'm sure a lot of people dealt with that or didn't think a rock star like Paul had these kind of feelings, feeling abandoned or feeling despised. You know, he's not saying the Lord isn't with him and that this will be resolved, but he's showing normal emotions that we'd all show. So I'm thinking there's some people that are listening that have scars and hurts and heartaches and pain and haven't resolved them yet, but we're going to see how Paul brings to light these very things.
A very profitable Bible study for all of us might be at some point is to go through and mark all the places in your Bible where Paul intentionally is trying to let people know he's not as great as they think he is. You know, places like where Paul says, of the sinners, I'm chief. Where Paul's trying to say, stop worshiping me and worship Jesus. And this is a danger that we have today. We worship celebrity pastors. Why? Because it's easier to worship them than it is to worship Jesus. My job is not to be worshipped. My job is to lead people to worship Jesus. And so Paul is, I love this human moment of Paul where Paul cries out to Timothy and says, please, please come see me because I'm lonely. And then he says, by the way, I'm also really wounded by Demas. How much trust do you think it takes for Paul to write this to Timothy?
A lot. Vulnerability is strength, but it's takes a lot of trust.
How about this? Do you think Paul was like, by the way, this will be in the best-selling book ever?
That's awesome.
He said, he's deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. And then he says, Cretans has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia, which in our family we say is the land of spotted dogs. He says, Luke alone is with me. Luke was Paul's constant traveling partner. He says, listen, the mission has to go on, even in the midst of my brokenness. So Cretans has to go to Galatia. Titus needs to go to Dalmatia. Luke is here with me. Luke has always been with me. He says, I'm lonely, and it's hard. And though I think that Paul had a relationship with Luke, I don't think that Paul's relationship with Luke was maybe the same as his relationship with Timothy. Because Luke is with him, but Luke doesn't seem to be enough. And that doesn't say anything negative about Luke. Listen, there are just some relationships we have that are just naturally built for intimacy. you know, where we can just share and we can just talk about things. And I have friends that I can talk about a lot of things with, and then I have friends that I can talk about anything with. And I know that it's safe to talk to them and it's going to be okay. I can be the worst version of myself in that moment, and there's forgiveness and grace and love and all those kinds of things. And so Paul really is saying, and it's nothing against Luke, but Luke just isn't enough in this moment. But then he says something I think that's really fascinating, verse 11. He says, get Mark and bring him with you. Now, does anybody know who Mark is?
That's John Mark. Yeah.
This is not an early appearance of Mark Burns. A foreshadowing of the Burns. Who is the Mark that he's talking about here?
The Mark who abandoned him, right?
Yeah, that's the John Mark that had all the trouble, and they went their separate ways because they couldn't get along. And now he's going, you know what? I'm reaching the end. Bring him back. We need to have a reconciliation.
Yeah. Hey, remember that moment? Paul and Barnabas. And the Bible actually uses this word about the fracture in the relationship that is the same as when the lightning strikes in the book of Revelation. It's so dynamic. It's so destructive. It's so just horrible. And he says, bring Mark with you. Last week we talked about this is the end of Paul's life, right? He's being poured out like a drink offering. You know, he knows his end is coming. He's ran the race. He's fought the good fight, kept the faith. I love that at the end of his life, he goes, listen, I got some open accounts here that we need to take care of. Bring Mark along with you because I need to talk to him. And he also says this, for he is very useful to me for ministry. When we had that moment with Barnabas and Paul, do you think he thought that Mark was useful for ministry?
No.
No, in fact, that was his problem, right? Mark kept wandering around. He kept frustrating Paul. Paul's like, we got ministry to do. And Mark's like, oh, what? What's going on? He says here, no. Bring him back because I need to talk with him and I need to let him know that he's useful to this ministry. He's useful to the work of Jesus. And then he says, Tychicus, I've sent to Ephesus. And he says, when you come, bring the cloak that I left in Carpus at Troas and also the books and above all the parchments. He says, just bring some things that matter to me, that mean something to me. Bring these things that mean something to me. And then he talks again about another personal moment, doesn't he? He says, Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. By the way, the great harm means many harms. So this is a serial kind of
offender.
Offender, yeah. Yeah. And I love this. He says, the Lord will repay him according to his deeds. What do you think that means that Paul doesn't have to do?
Revenge, retaliation.
Right. Has anybody ever done anybody in the room here many great injustices? Maybe you have somebody in your life who maybe has been a serial kind of offender. How many of you have thought, I got to get even?
Or I need to defend myself, stand up for myself, make people understand that, you know, this is not because of me, this is not my way, and so forth.
I'll tell you what, I'll be honest in this moment, not that I've been dishonest, but 2 years ago when I had this issue with this person who wounded me badly, I chose intentionally in that moment not to defend myself because I didn't think I needed to. Mm-hmm. And there were quite a few dings that I took because I wasn't going to explain myself at every turn. I was going to do what I thought was right, and then I was going to shut up. And that was it.
Yeah.
It's not my job to do those things. It's the Lord's job. He's the one who judges. That's what we heard last week. He judges the living and the dead, not me. I'm a poor judge. I'm going to leave it to him.
That's right. But, oh, so hard to do.
Oh, man. Oh, my goodness, it's hard to do. But Paul writes to Timothy and he says, but beware of him yourself. Paul's not gossiping here. He's not trying to drag Alexander the coppersmith through the mud here. He's just saying, listen, Timothy, I just want you to be careful. He's offering Timothy wisdom. Timothy gets to do with what he wants to. By the way, we don't hear any of the details here, do we?
No.
He doesn't go, by the way, point one, point two, point three, www.alexanderthecoppersmithstinks.com.
Case proving.
Right. Yeah. Instead, he says, listen, beware of him, because he was opposed to our message. I think when he says that, he's saying two things. He's saying, number one, maybe he was opposed to the actual message of the gospel, but I think more so he was opposed to living the message of the gospel. His actions showed that he didn't really believe. And that's what you need to be aware of. Why? Because people who walk the wrong way lead people astray.
And can be victims of that person as well.
Totally. Totally. And he says, at my first offense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them.
Hey, let me just jump back, because I'm just thinking about that oppressed our message. And Paul also said, you know, follow me as I follow Jesus. And so maybe he's really opposed to the message of Jesus, because that's what Paul and Timothy are proclaiming.
Yeah. Listen, is anybody in this room opposed to the message of Jesus? Wait. Let me ask a second question then. Has anybody in this room done something that was counter to the way that Jesus has called you to live in the last 24 hours?
Well, that makes it
okay.
More truthful. Yes, I have.
Jason, everyone's walking out. Right?
I just like to kind of let us know that, listen, anywhere where I don't fully give myself over to the message of Jesus, the way of Jesus, I'm opposing the message of Jesus and the way of Jesus. I'm saying I know a better way. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that's important for us to say, because sometimes we can get a little too religious, a little too full of ourselves, and go, I believe in Jesus. Well, what about when you just did that other thing? You didn't really look like you believed in Jesus for that moment.
Right.
But I love this, what he said. He doubles down. Remember we said earlier, he said, the Lord will repay him according to his deeds. And then he doubles down at the end of verse 15 and says, may it not be charged against them. Once again, he says, who's going to judge?
Yeah. And pray for them, because, you know, they could have some bad things ahead of them. And we know that they probably will when the day comes.
Yeah. And then he says in verse 17, but who stood beside him?
The Lord.
Good. I was getting worried you guys weren't going to answer that one. Who stood behind him?
The Lord.
Excellent. It's the Lord who strengthened him. What I think that Paul is trying to tell us here through the pain of these verses, and I really think if you don't pause in verses 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15, and really feel the humanity of these verses, you're missing it. What Paul is saying is, listen, every human relationship is nothing like your relationship with Jesus. Mm-hmm. Human relationships are good. Don't get me wrong. We have the opportunity for great beauty in human relationships, and we also have the opportunity for great hurt.
Well, and I think when we really start getting buried deep in what this person's done and how they've wronged us and trying to get back at them, we're distracted and we don't have our eyes on God.
Yeah. And listen, I want to point something out here that I think is really important in this verse that we could miss. It would be very easy in verse 17 for Paul to say in light of all of this, but I stood by the Lord, read my Bible every day and prayed.
Yeah.
I'm so faithful. He doesn't say it, does he? He says, the Lord stood by me.
Yes. That's the difference between the world and the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
The world is I, me, myself, and I.
Yeah.
And the Lord is always helping.
Yeah. The Lord stood by him. That means that Paul probably had a lot of difficult moments here where he was vacillating between probably being incredibly faithful and having some questions. I mean, how could you not? How could you not be like, Lord, but you called Alexander the coppersmith. I mean, I prayed about that guy, and he came in here, and we were serving together, and it was amazing, and Demas was doing the same thing, and then these guys turned 180 degrees, and they hurt me. I mean, Lord, I don't understand.
And does it mean that the Lord is not standing by that other person or those other people?
Right. He says, but the Lord stood by me and strengthened me so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed. Listen, the full message of the gospel is this. There are good days and there are bad days. Mm. And I'm going to tell you this. You want people to see a faith-filled life? They need to see what that looks like in the valley, not on the mountaintop. Mm-hmm. Because it's easy to have a faith-filled life on the mountaintop. Mm-hmm. Everything's going well.
Yes.
But when you're down in the valley, when you've got cancer, when you've got somebody who's hurting, when you're hurting, when you've been hurt, when you've been wounded, when you have the opportunity for revenge, when you have all that, that's when people get to see what a faith-filled life looks like. When you choose to be quiet, when you could drag somebody through the mud, that's when a faith-filled life looks like. And Paul is saying that. He's saying, listen, and he says, and all the Gentiles might hear it. That means all the unbelievers might hear it. And then he says, I was rescued from the lion's mouth. He's telling him, listen, I read my Old Testament. That's Daniel. Just like Daniel was rescued from the mouths of the lion, so was I. Why? Because Satan is like a lion he'll use in other places who wants to devour you. And Satan, in any one of these situations from verse 9 through 15, Satan could have used me in a very horrible way. And God delivered me from the mouth of that lion. And the Lord will rescue me and all of us from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen. And then, I love this. In his final greeting at the end, verses 19 through 22, he then says, listen, but not all relationships are bad. He says, Priscilla and Aquila, Onesiphorus, Erastus, Trophimus, Prudence, Linus, Claudia, and all the brothers, there are still good people out there. There are still good people out there. And so I love this second part of 2 Timothy 4 where Paul gets real. And he tells us about the difficulty of relationships, the joys of relationships, and that all those relationships that we have, none of them are like the relationship that we have with Jesus. None of them.
Are there good people in politics? Just asking.
We don't have enough time to talk about that.
But this closing verse, we have a little time to talk about. The Lord be with your spirit. Mm-hmm. Grace be with you. The Lord be with your spirit. Amen. It's kind of like, may he bring you comfort and insight and peace of mind. Your spirit, is that inner spirit that we have, our inner person?
I think he's actually talking about the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit's job in the Trinity is to lead us back to the Lord. To lead us back to Jesus. In the upper room, Jesus says, he will remind you of all the things that I've said. He will bring to recollection who I am and what I am and how I am and who, all that I've done. And so I think that he's saying, listen, the Lord is with us. The Spirit will lead you back to the Lord and remind you that grace is always with you. Mm-hmm. Because the Lord is with you. And Paul has just given us a whole lot of reasons to understand how grace has been with him.
The Lord is with you, listening friend. He's there to help you live that faith-filled life, to be the real person that he's created you to be as you lean into him, as you find your strength and source in him, as you walk in cadence with his Spirit's leading. May you be his ambassador to this hurting world today, this weekend, all month long, all year long, for the rest of your life. Be God's person wherever you go, as you go, proclaiming the good news message of Jesus. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Pastor Jason Schiffo, and a room of friends with the ministry.
A huge room.
A small room.
Huge, filled with really huge friends.
Huge. With the ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day, night, and weekend.